Okay, let's move on to 296.
Approve innovation funding for 17 micro grant proposals for fiscal year 2014-15.
So this is our innovation fund at work, trying to find new ways to do things, trying out experiments that might or might not work. Again, rubber sidewalks are not the normal way to deal with the provision of sidewalks, but we're going to try it, see if it works. Trying to make our summer free-for-all program more culturally responsive. We know we want to do it. We're not sure if the ways that we're selecting here will actually work, but the whole point of the Innovation Fund is for public managers to be able to try things and to prototype things and to understand that there's risk and to accept the probability that some of them will fail and that no one will be punished for innovating and failing. So we've sequestered a little bit of money in the city's budget to do just that, and our team is here to report on some of those projects that are now before us. Good morning.
Thank you, Mayor, and members of council. Jane Brayton, I manage the OMF Business Operations Division, and I'm here this morning on behalf of Fred Miller. We're here to ask you to approve this ordinance authorizing funding for 17 micro-grants through the City Innovation Fund. I'm sorry that Fred is on a rare day off out of the office, because I think that the micro-grant process was actually one of his favorites, both because we heard when we met with small bureaus, please streamline processes to make them easier for us and more accessible, and because he really liked the idea of building a culture of innovation. He said often, we don't have to wait a year to come up with a good idea. Let's figure out a way we can have a rolling process. So I'm pleased to represent him today. We're now in the second year, and so the City Innovation Fund continues to support innovative ideas with an emphasis on equity, opportunity, and again, promoting that culture of innovation. So on behalf of our proposers and the review panel, we want to thank the mayor and the council for supporting this effort. Even in tough economic times and budget crunch, you supported this concept that people could make things better and we could do this through small investments to make those improvements. And many of our proposers have commented that they could not have moved their project forward if it hadn't have been for this support. So please let us convey our thanks to you. We also want to thank our proposers and our review panel, and I'm just going to ask them to wave from the audience so that you know who they are. Our proposers are the people out in the bureaus who've worked with community members, other bureaus, to make things happen. And our review panel, we had community members Warren Chan and Emily Rice, and City Representative Sam Hutchinson, and I know he's here today as well, and Robert Walker. They volunteered their time to help make this process a good one and meaningful in providing feedback. I want to give a brief introduction and then really turn this over to the main focus, which is the people who brought these projects forward and are making things happen. And I'll come up at the end to answer any questions. So just to let you know, a little background, the innovation micro grants, as we're calling them, are for those projects under $10,000 was the general guideline, although we said they could go up to $20,000 to be considered. We started in February with a call for ideas, and we got 46 proposals from 13 bureaus. You may recall when we were back here in January, when we did the big fall call for ideas for both large and micro grants, we got 45 proposals from 16 bureaus. So all in all, we've generated almost 100 interesting ideas on how to improve city services, make them work better, and we've received these ideas from almost every bureau. So that's part of our marketing and outreach challenge in the future. Our review panel had a tough job because they had to look at all of these good ideas and really look at those that promoted equity and opportunity, improved customer service, made our processes more efficient or more effective. So then we invited all of our proposers into a facilitated meeting with our review panel where they could answer questions and receive feedback firsthand. The review panel narrowed down that list to 17 microgrant proposals they're recommending to you today. I'd now like to introduce Janet Storm from OMF Business Operations. She has served as the primary contact for proposers and the review panel, and she'll be bringing up, we have a sampling of five of them to share with you today, and we're really pleased that this gives them an avenue to get recognized for taking that risk to bring forward a new idea and asking for your support. And then I'll be back around for any questions. So, Janet.
Good morning. My name is Janet Storm. I'm a management analyst with OMF Business Operations, and I coordinate the grant proposal process. We wanted to share a little bit with you about that process. On February 11th, OMF Business Operations put out a call for microgrant ideas citywide. All city employees were notified that the city was looking for creative microgrant proposals that accomplish one or more of the following: promote equity and opportunity in city government and our community, improve customer service to the community and or city customers, create more effective and efficient city processes, and make things better in general. Interested employees submitted one-page microgrant proposals, and the one-page proposals were then sent to all bureau directors so that they could provide input on proposals from their own bureaus, as well as possibly identify cross-bureau partnership opportunities. We then forwarded 46 microgrant proposals submitted by 13 bureaus to the Innovation Review Panel. The panel was asked to evaluate the proposals based on their ability to pass the following five filters. Number one, do you think that the proposal is innovative? Is it original, and does it show strategic creativity? Number two, taking other funding sources into consideration, such as the sponsor bureau's operating budget, is the Innovation Fund the most logical funding source for this particular proposal? Number three, can this project actually be carried out? Do you believe that the proposed project can be achieved within the estimated budget provided? Four, are all of the key partners confirmed to be on board with this effort? And five, are there benefits to the proposed project? Does it advance equity? Does it provide opportunity? And is there a potential for greater benefits with broader applications? On March 9th, our panel met, and through an interactive, facilitative discussion with the project proposers, they agreed upon the funding recommendations for the 17 project proposals that you have before you. And now we've invited six proposers to share a minute or two with you today about five of the recommended proposals in a little bit more detail. First, I'd like to introduce Laura Neamey, who is from Portland Parks and Recreation. Laura?
Hey, come on up, Laura. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Laura Neamey. I am the program manager for Portland Parks and Recreation's Community Gardens program, and we operate 50 gardens covering 21 acres throughout the city, provide land to people who want to grow their own food. And over the past few years, we've seen an increased demand from people who are living in poverty and people who are immigrant and refugee communities. We currently have 16 languages represented in our program. And we've discovered that some of our policies, unfortunately, inadvertently prohibit practices that are widely used by different cultures. We've also realized that there are certain policies that don't really take into account the resources available to people that are living with limited incomes. So with this micro grant, we propose to conduct a culturally inclusive policy review process. This will involve the Office of Equity and Human Rights Senior Policy Analyst and Parks' Equity and Inclusion Manager to assist me and community garden staff with designing an inclusive process. Then community garden and parks public involvement staff will implement this over a series of community meetings with representatives from our diverse gardeners. The grant we're seeking is $14,000, which will be used for interpretation and translation, childcare, and food for these community meetings. And we hope that the end result is that we'll have culturally inclusive policies and procedures, and that we'll reduce the barriers and increase participation to people that are historically underserved by our program. We're also hoping to, through this process, cultivate cultural leaders who can help be managers at their gardens and advocate for gardeners in their community and help us to further understand the needs of our community and be responsive to that. And lastly, further Parks' equity and inclusion goals. So thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Antoinette Pietka and Uma Krishnan from the Portland Housing Bureau.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a tag team today. Okay. Honorable Commissioners, Mayor Hales, good morning. I'm Uma Krishnan, analyst and demographer with the City's Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And in this valuable minute that I have, I just want to provide the context for the web scraper project that was funded, $5,000, our gratitude for the same. As you may know, we, as in the Planning Bureau and the Housing Bureau, we are constantly looking at public real estate websites like the Zillow or the Redfin or Trulia, just to understand what's going on currently in the market. And this is partly to understand what's going on in the market and also to be able to evaluate, you know, our planning programs, our housing programs, how well are they working? Do we need to do anything more? Can we see an impact? This is a really time-intensive process. And during one of our meetings with my colleagues at the Housing Bureau, I was simply lamenting. I said, you know, I'm constantly looking at these free websites to be able to understand what's going on in the market. And Antoinette picks up the story from there.
Good morning. I'm Antoinette Fietka from the Portland Housing Bureau. And our Innovation Fund proposal would fund the development of a housing data web scraper, or basically a software robot, that would be used by both bureaus to collect information from the web, to download it, and transform it into structured data that we could then analyze over time. The scraper would be automated to visit sites and collect information such as real estate listings, vacancies, unit types, and just a whole, you know, all of the data that's out there right now. And it would save staff in both bureaus a considerable amount of time.
Question about that. Would it ultimately, like Port One Maps, be able to be turned around and revealed to the public, folks that wanted to see that collected data?
We could. That's one of the intent.
Yeah, good. Next year's proposal.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have John Holtrop from the Bureau of Environmental Services.
I'm John Holtrop. I'm with this BES. I'm the manager of the Extra Strength Sewer Charge Program. And my proposal is, or our proposal, I should say, is essentially to do multilingual video, educational videos for food service facilities. Our Cut Through the Fog program impacts about 3,000 or more food service facilities, restaurants. And there is a financial impact to those businesses, both through potential compliance issues and for the sewer rates. And we want to make sure that they're cleaning their grease traps, maintaining grease traps in the adequate fashion. And the rates themselves also have best management components to them. So there are rate discounts depending on what things they do. So we want to get that information out to those customers. A pretty big percentage of the food service facilities have English as a second language. And so we want to make sure that they are getting all that information so that they can get the full rate discounts that they are entitled to and that they are in compliance at all times.
So if this works, then the customers will avoid extra charges, right?
It potentially could lower their sewer charges.
Yeah.
And hopefully avoid compliance issues. Mm-hmm. And we have clusters, you know, of restaurants, and some of them are demographically related. So we want to make sure that we're not getting grease blockages in those areas. And if we're not getting information out to people about what's desired, required, and, you know, beneficial, then that could be a negative effect to the sewer system.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks. Next, we have Julia Thompson from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Julia Thompson, and I'm from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and I want to tell you about the Neighborhood Anti-Litter Campaign Toolkit that we've applied for a micro-grant for. So as we've all experienced, Portland is experiencing a growth spurt with thousands of new residents moving here every month. Lots of new construction is filling in our neighborhoods and business districts and making them even more walkable and vibrant. And this pace of change and growth is exciting, but it also adds wear and tear in our neighborhoods and business districts. Increased litter like cigarette butts and fast food containers pollute the urban environment and affect livability. BPS is looking at ways to improve access to garbage and recycling containers in our business districts. However, we believe that garbage cans alone are not enough to create the behavior change to keep our districts clean. The Neighborhood Pride Anti-Litter Campaign Toolkit will provide a practical and efficient way to reduce litter throughout the city. Through a collaboration with Venture Portland, we aim to make the Anti-Litter Campaign Toolkit available to the approximate 50 business districts. And this low-cost, customizable resource for them will be developed with input from business district and neighborhood association leaders and participants, and will include templates for outdoor ads and storefront signage, as well as a social media component that district participants could promote. And we believe this free, customizable resource will empower neighborhood businesses and leaders to do something about the litter in front of their businesses and their neighborhoods. It will benefit longtime residents and newcomers, shoppers and diners and districts throughout the city by building neighborhood pride and drawing attention to garbage cans that make it easier to keep walkable districts litter-free. And it will provide an equitable resource allowing all business districts to implement the campaign toolkit easily with minimal costs. So thank you for considering this innovation microgrant.
Thank you.
And our final presenter today is Jody Yates from the Portland Bureau of Transportation.
Speaking of rubber sidewalks.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners and Mayor. My name is Jody Yates. I'm here representing the Bureau of Transportation. I work in the maintenance operations group. One of my programs administers the sidewalk repair program. As a reminder, city charter requires that property owners maintain their sidewalks in the city, and my program is the one that tells them when their sidewalk needs repair. To put it in context, in 2014, the program required 1,900 property repairs, and the average cost per repair is about $1,200, so that equates to $2 million annually. We estimate that 90% of those repairs are a result of mature tree roots pushing on the sidewalk, creating a tripping hazard. PBOT engineers have researched materials for several years and are recommending a product for testing. The product is called RubberWay. It is a pervious, flexible surface system made from recycled tire rubber. The literature is suggesting that this will allow tree roots to expand into the sidewalk without creating a tripping hazard. The microgrant request is to install a pilot project and to monitor it for several years. The pilot project is a sidewalk that is currently maintained by PBOT, and it has mature tree roots requiring the sidewalk repair. This sidewalk was last repaired 7 years ago for the same reason. If the product is successful, PBOT will either install other test sites and or write specifications allowing the product to be used throughout the city. This could result in a savings to citizens of the city of Portland of $2 million annually. And thank you for considering the project.
Jody, I have to say this is a very exciting project. The idea that we could use a new product and an innovation to save people money, many people each year would just be terrific.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any thanks to all of our presenters today, and I'd like to invite Jane Brayton back up for questions.
Okay, questions for Jane or Janet? So.
I have a couple of questions. You read the criteria that they were evaluated for, and by the way, thank you to all the committee members, and thanks to all the staff who have proposed great projects. It's good to be able to encourage innovation amongst our staff, but the criteria for evaluation didn't include saving money. And I'm wondering about that because initially it was set up with the view of investing now to make savings later.
Our criteria, I believe from the 1314 ordinance, had a series of criteria that they wanted them all met. This time around, after some discussions, we sort of broadened that to include efficiencies because when the Bureau customers heard saving money, I think they were equating that with potentially a budget cut that would come later, and it was a little bit harder to assess where those savings might occur. So last time around in January, you heard from Leslie Goodloe about sharing information with the faith-based community and the Housing Bureau, and the tool that they wanted to implement would save a lot of time in data entry, but it would save it some on the city side and also some on the nonprofit side. So the city is getting a better investment in helping their housing programs meet the homeless community needs, but there isn't necessarily, we could do an estimate of that efficiency
but it wouldn't necessarily relate to a cost savings that would be as great just within the Housing Bureau, just to the city. But happy to explore that with you further so that we can make sure that that meets your needs about how do we best express that overall. We think this idea from the Housing Bureau would make a really good investment, saves a lot of time in working on the problem, and maybe broaden that to say it could reflect something that's not just city savings.
Well, that, I agree. I mean, the rubber sidewalk is a great example of that. That could save property owners a lot of money, too, as well as there's not all that much sidewalk that we maintain, but some. So I'd like to see a return to that in future iterations. The way many of these projects are now, it's I appreciate seeing the emphasis on equity, and it's fitting that the mayor is leading the Office of Equity and Human Rights and that they've been involved in many of these grants and as partners and such. I understand there's going to be another funding round in May. Is that correct?
We will be asking to take some of the funds that were not spent this year. So you will see a spring bump request to move funds into the Innovation Fund for next year, and that would help fund a May call for ideas in terms of our small grants.
And that would come with the spring bump?
Mm-hmm.
Because there is still money left from this year, right?
There is about $10,000 that's left from this year's allocation. In addition, OMF is asking to return some funds that we did not use for program management and ask the council, we just briefed the mayor's office on this week, and so we're asking if that could be applied towards the innovation fund that would help do a May call for ideas.
Okay. So there's an issue, Mayor, that I just want to flag for you, that I think the top-rated suggestion is not part of this package, and it was partly because of a glitch in email communication with Parks. It's a great project. It's just that I have a suggestion that in the future you ask for an affirmative response from bureaus to, is this project fine with you? Because we all get so many hundreds of emails a week that even the most diligent director, who I would say that Mike Abate is one of the most diligent directors, sometimes things just get missed. So that, I think, would be a process improvement. But I would hate for the project that didn't get funded, which is the kiosks in community centers to help people apply for employment. There's some issues that we need to work out between Parks and HR, human resources, that I know Mike Abate and Anna Camwood are working on. Just want to make sure that we don't miss out on the opportunity of funding that project in this fiscal year.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Other questions for our team? Thank you both. Thanks very much. And to all the presenters, thank you. Does anyone want to speak on this item?
We have Joe Walsh and Lightning.
Okay, come on up.
For the record, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We love this. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog X. Of a lot of things that I've seen in the council chambers on different ordinances, this is, to me, the most impressive, in my opinion. And I highly recommend and applaud the bureaus for coming up with these great innovative ideas. One of the things I like about this is that a lot of these ideas will be built upon and used in other areas and even other states possibly. So this is kind of being at the forefront of some really great things to happen. And that's what I look at this as, is that you cannot teach or be taught what is yet to be created. And that's what I like about this whole micro grant proposal. And we're seeing a lot of this innovation coming in from, say, Silicon Valley at a much higher level on some of the thinking. But what's interesting is a lot of these things can grow into some great areas, and other people are going to notice this. And this is really positive, because to show this type of creativity and come forward with these ideas and be presented these grants, I think, is really, really a great thing and to build upon. Now, getting back to my watchdog issue on having a few concerns, And it's nothing against Commissioner Fritz, but when you look at this on the grants that have been received, 9 grants went to Parks and Recreation, and then a few of these other ones got either 2 or 1. So out of the total grants received, you received 59.27%. Now, that's a concern to me, is that I'd almost like to have maybe a cap put on the different bureaus, like maybe 2 grants to each bureau, and make sure that we don't have one bureau receiving a tremendous amount of grants. And if we're going to talk equity and being equitable, we have to also look at that too on this type of grant funding process, that there's a lot of other bureaus that need to have these type of grants, in such as transportation, and to have that innovation and the opportunity to step forward with these ideas and present that to the public. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, come on up, please.
Hello, this is Benjamin Barber, and I think that a small grant to build these smart bike locks from the Open Bike Initiative would do a lot to kind of bring Uber-like services to bicycles, and could be done with the remaining amount of budget that's left over.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, anyone else want to speak on this item? We'll have to wait for a moment for Commissioner Saltzman to come back, because it's an emergency ordinance. So we might need to set this over for a little while.
If you talk for one.
or one of us could make a speech, or Rachel could see if he's available. So give us a moment. And then we'll decide whether we need to move on and come back to this and act. Well, we can certainly make some comments, and I want to make some. And we don't have to wait till we vote. First of all, I just think the work that's being done, Fred, Jane, Janet, those that are leading this effort, is right on track with encouraging a pretty broad variety. Granted, maybe a bunch of them came from one bureau, but the variety of these projects is even more impressive than I expected, frankly. The creativity seems to me to be bubbling up in the way that one would hope would happen. In my private sector career, very early in that chapter of my life, I went to my boss and I had an idea, and I said, we should try this. And he said, okay, Charlie's got a good idea, let's go for it. And I'll tell you, that was so empowering. And I hope that it seems to me that's what's happening in our bureaus, that people are coming up with good ideas. The leadership in the bureaus is encouraging that. OMF managing this fund is supplying the resources to make it happen. And we're getting exactly what I think all of us had hoped for, in terms of not just creativity and not just the opportunity to save money or be more effective as an organization, but to empower people in the bureaus that know what they're doing to come forward with things that will work or not, and that we all understand that some of them will not work and we'll try something else. So again, I want to keep repeating that failure is an option in this case, and it's not the one that anyone seeks, but it's okay for some of these experiments not to work. That's why we've measured the amount of funds that we're setting aside for this, and keep reiterating the expectation that people should be creative, and that that creativity is going to be supported by us as a council and by the bureau managers and by our finance and administration team that oversee this effort. So I'm really happy with the way this is going, and appreciate particularly hearing some of the project leadership come forward today with both the ideas and the enthusiasm. So with that, maybe I'll move to a roll call vote and allow my colleagues to comment as well.
Fritz? Well, I was going to celebrate the fact that 9 of the 17 are from Parks, and I don't apologize for having the most innovative staff in the city. For a small fee, I will allow them to come and teach your staff. really, there's such a broad range of services that Portland Parks and Recreation provides, and such dismal funding for a lot of them, that it's not surprising that many of these from Parks. And as I said, there's one more coming forward, hopefully in May. So thank you for all of the staff and all the citizen volunteers who evaluated these grants and who are going to be working diligently on them. I know from my own first start was getting a $3,500 Bureau of Environmental Services education grant as a mom at Markham Elementary School. And I thought it was so cool that the city of Portland was investing in my concepts, and it ended up being a boatload of work. So I would caution all of the staff to make sure that things are vetted thoroughly through the system before, as you're developing the concepts, because we want to make sure that as many projects as possible are successful, because then that does empower and you keep going. So thank you all for doing all this great work. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate the mayor creating this innovation fund a couple years ago, and it looks like there's been a lot of good creative thinking going on here, and hopefully a lot of these projects will prove to be successful. Although, as the mayor said, failure is an option too, but that's what innovation is all about. Aye.
Novick.
I think Commissioner Fritz has an unfair advantage because there are folks who are out there communing with nature, and we all know that's conducive to creativity, so I think they should have a handicap. I think this is a tremendous initiative. I really appreciate Fred and Jane and Janet's work and all of the Bureau's work. And one thing I think people should be aware of is that, I mean, people might be asking, why do we need to set aside specific pots of money for this stuff? Why can't bureaus just do innovative things whenever they see an innovative thing to do? And the truth is the government budgets tend to be pretty prescriptive, and the bureaus don't generally have big pots of money set aside for just doing cool stuff. So that's one of the reasons that it was important to create a pot of money that's specifically designated for cool stuff. And gosh darn it, we're seeing some cool stuff. Thank you all so much. Aye.
Hales.
One more anecdote. Early in my term as mayor, I went to my first U.S. Conference of Mayors meeting, and one of the people that I met who I value as a mentor is Greg Fisher, who's the mayor of Louisville. And he had a very successful private sector career and then came back into government. And I was sort of agonizing out loud. I'm not sure how much time to spend in extracurricular activities as a mayor. You know, I have to be in council and present and helping to lead the city, but I also value this kind of learning, and I'm just trying to strike that balance for how much time. Do I get involved in the C40 organization? Do I get involved in U.S. Conference of Mayors or National League of Cities? And each of us that do some of that kind of work outside of the formal boundaries of our responsibilities here have to kind of weigh that allocation of our time. And again, remember, this is a private sector person, and he looked at me and said, well, how many people are working for the city of Portland? About 5,600. He said, well, how many of them are charged with cross-pollinating ideas and research and development? I said, oh, I guess not that many of us. Thank you. I understand that I should be here now. But actually, I would be happy to report back to Greg or any other mayor that now there are a lot of people involved in research and development and cross-pollinating ideas, and that was the hope of this program. And I'm very happy to see that hope being realized. Keep up the good work. Keep producing wild new ideas, some of which will work, and keep competing against each other for creativity. Very well done. Thank you. Aye.